Morning.
Morning.
It's truly good to come together as one to worship our God, amen?
Yes.
Alright, I'm just going to give a bit of background, okay? Not even intro yet, just background, okay? And you know that before I start anything, we always declare whole hallelujah because it helps me first, and I know that it breaks certain things in all our lives, yeah? Now, the background is this. When Pastor already mentioned this a few times, that last week there was certain kind of excitement that you could see in the worship team because we understood that we are like His hidden treasure and we are like pearls to Him. We are precious in His sight. Everyone say, I am precious in His sight.
I am precious in His sight.
Now, that makes us so excited because we truly, truly understand that God is looking over our life, He's working in our life, and He wants us, He wants the best for our life.
Yeah.
Okay? We are special in His sight. And the thing is, being human, or, you know, let me give this example. By spending a lot of time with the Malaysian children here, and you see also in my, or I see also in my own life, we like to compare. We like to compare, right? And the example is this. One of them, I won't say who, as we were walking on the outside in the grass, you know, he or she, okay, very cryptic, and I was like, I'm going to be so tan. I was like, but you're so fair. Like, and then it's like, but you know, if I spend too much in the sun, I'm going to be so tan. I was like, look, I'm tanner than you. And then it's like, but you know, I'm more tan than another person. Like, see all this comparison? Sometimes comparing can bring a negative effect on ourselves. Yeah? Amen? And also, I've been teaching them maths a little bit every Sunday after the class. You know, the first thing I said is that because the age gap is quite big, do not compare yourself with each other because no one is better than you or no one is worse than you, right? You are where you are, God has put you there, okay? But don't put it to the extreme and say, oh, well, God made me like this, so I just stay here, yeah? Because in the end, all of us, God wants us to grow,
that's
amen?
Right.
God wants us to be better and better,
that's
and God
right.
has put a lot of seeds, today's keyword, seeds, that seeds all have to grow and bear fruits, amen? So, coming to this then, as you all know, I want to share about being true sons of God. So, before I go into that, I really want to praise God for this, just this simple message that we are precious in His sight.
Amen.
Alright, say it with me again. I am precious in His sight.
I am precious in His sight.
Don't look down on myself.
Don't look down on myself.
And don't look down on others.
Don't look down on others.
Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah! Something is already breaking in the spirit,
yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
Alright? This is going to break off limitation that all the seeds in our lives will begin to grow, amen?
Yeah.
Alright. So, can we get our points out? Alright. Now, into the intro, okay? Right. So, we've been talking about true sons of the house, or mature sons of the house, and I said that before we even want to truly take on the practical things about being true sons of the house, we must really understand what does it mean to be true sons of God.
Yeah.
Okay, we want the spiritual things that we learn then work out into the physical or practical.
Yeah.
Okay, if not, if we try to base on examples or natural examples, not that we can't learn from it, because you know even Jesus gave parables, natural parables to learn from it, but then we find that we use our own strength to do it. Yeah. Amen? We want something that comes from the Spirit so that then, when we do everything, we do it with the right heart, with the right motive. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright, so, today's, how do you say, sub-teaching or sub-chapter, if you want to say that. Alright, it's about receiving the seed of the kingdom because we are all called sons, and sons must have a house. Yeah? So, in the universal term, our house in this godly family is the kingdom of God. Alright? And we've been learning in the parables class about the parables of the kingdom. Okay? And there are so many things, even though we already know this parable, we know the interpretation, many, many things, but still, as we go through it step by step, we are receiving more.
Amen.
So it's an exciting time to go into parables. Okay? Alright. So, next. So, just to briefly recap the intro, is that You know, God really wants sons in His kingdom. Okay? This is in contrast to just wanting believers. Yes, a son will believe. Amen? Right? Okay? He just doesn't want just students, like, you know, student or disciples. Because a son will want to learn what the father has spoken, or what the father has trying to communicate to his sons. Amen? So there is that relationship aspect to it. Okay? And in Ephesians chapter 1, I just summarized there and the verses that, you know, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, which means that He always wants the best for us. Okay? And He says He celebrates and lavishes us, which means, lavish means more than enough.
Yeah.
You know, He has given more than enough. And He always wants to highlight His sons. Okay? And then, the last one is, He has a plan for His sons. He prepares the future for us. So that is the kind of Father we have. Yeah, Father God that we have. Alright, next one. Jesus died on the cross, not so that we just have quote-unquote salvation. Yes, that is true. But more so, in the Bible, it says that so that we can be the Son of God. Okay? So, sons of God, sorry. Sons of God. So, let's read together that scripture over there. 1, 2, 3. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, keyword number 2 is the heir, okay? Son, that is my keyword all the time, okay? So that is default, right? But today is not specific. Number 1 is, everyone say, see?
See.
Number 2 is heir.
Heir.
Alright, next one. So what is an heir, right? So to define it, it's basically an inheritor. Yeah? Just to inherit, right? So, now, the third one is, the Spirit leads us to be sons. Everyone together, read the scripture. 1, 2, 3. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. Now, with these 3 scriptures, or 3 points, it can highlight this thing about God wanting all of us to be sons.
Amen.
Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? Alright, can we get the next slide? Now, basically, like I said, sons, the special thing is they are heirs, right? They're inheritors. And basically, we are to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we look in the natural, when do sons inherit from their father? When the father passed away, right? Now, in the spiritual, is there such thing? No. Our Father God is eternal. So, what does that mean? What? Oh, we were never going to receive it? No. Okay, so when do we inherit the kingdom?
Now.
Very good. So everyone knows the answer, right? So everyone says, now.
Now.
I can inherit the kingdom. You know, just before I was sharing this in the Darling Down service last week, pastors also already say, like, angels, you know, things about angels, we don't wait till we pass away and then go up to heaven, then we see angels. Wow, so beautiful up there, right? But right now, okay, pastor has been declaring also, like, you know, creating miracles, angelic activities.
That's right.
Right now, we can experience all these kingdom of God in their things. Yeah? Right now, you can inherit it.
Amen.
So, how do we inherit? Okay? Now, that's where it ties back to the parables that we learned. Okay? Now, the first parable that is in Matthew 13. Alright? Let's go into it. Okay? Let's go into it. You turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Alright, we will read from when Jesus already explained what it means. Okay, now just to go. Okay, never mind. So we will start in verse 10, okay? When the disciples come and ask Jesus, what does it mean? Alright? And Jesus repeats again what it is, what the parable is, and what it means. Okay? But also there is something before even explaining the parable in detail, Jesus said something very profound. Mm-hmm. Alright? So here, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.' For the hearts of these people are grown dull, their eyes are hard, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, before I go into the meaning of the parable, here is already a principle. Okay? How did Jesus try to share the word of God to two groups of people that was in the same place? Remember, one was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were there just to misquote Jesus. Right? And that's why when the disciples say, "Why do you speak in parables?" It's because of this reason. Right? But yet, there are also people there with the good intention. They really, really want to hear the word of God. They really, really want to understand the kingdom of God. Yeah. So Jesus is a very, very smart teacher. Alright? You can see that. How can he do this? He used parables.
Yeah.
Such a good strategy. Yeah? Some parables to that. Yeah? Because you know that they're just waiting for some misquote word. They can try to accuse Jesus, right? But Jesus is even smarter than that. Amen? Alright, just some things. But also then, okay. No, we are not the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? We're not trying to misquote scripture here, okay? So we are on the good side, right? We really want to understand it, okay? But the people who want to understand, okay, who really want to hear, they must hear with the right heart. Because with the right motive, with the right motivation, then whatever word that is preached, it will be conceived properly. If when it says that if we don't listen with our heart or we don't see, right? Remember when I said see is the I see, I understand now, right? Right? The hearing and the seeing. If our heart is not right, the first thing that it can say is our ears are hard and our eyes are closed. Yeah? Even though you think, I'm coming here to church is a good thing, quote unquote. But then, as soon as you sit down, you know, very boring or tired or something, then even though you have a good intention in the beginning to come, but if you don't hear with the right heart, then you cannot receive.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Alright, now, to the parable itself. Okay, so we continue to 18 onwards. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." So this is what I was talking about. Right? People who come in with hard heart. Hard heart cannot receive the seed. Yeah? "But he who receives the seed on stony..." This one, if you come with wrong motives, then the enemy has already taken the seed away from you. Okay? "So, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Okay? "Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay, if we get the PowerPoint back. Alright, so just to summarize these parables, we can see that the soil, the types of soil represent the types of heart that we have when we try to listen or receive the word of the kingdom. Now, then when we how do we receive it then? Okay? So receiving for us, how can we receive? An example is we listen. Right? We listen, or you can read yourself, okay? But in this context, you listen. Then when you believe, the Bible says that you are fully convinced that the word is true. Yeah. Okay? And then the last thing is to achieve it, which means to do what the word says. Yeah. And that's when we have really, truly received the seed or conceived it. Okay? And I put a big heart there because all of this thing that we have to do has to do with the heart, with the right heart. Amen?
Amen.
Alright? So, and in this parable, we know that the word of God is like seeds. Right? The word of God is like seeds. But to just expand this, alright, a bit more, if we go to the next slide. Okay? Now, the Bible also says that the word of God is like seed and bread. Okay? But I will go further with the analogy of fruit, because it's a bit easier. Okay? But just at this scripture, we talk about seed and bread. Okay? If you all read together, 1, 2, 3. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. Now, this scripture tells us that whenever we hear the word of God, two things can happen to us. Either we're receiving the word as seed, or we're receiving the word as bread. Now, some of you would have experienced this either maybe today, or last week, or think about that time when you hear a word and it burns within your heart. It's like, wow, that's today great preaching. Wow. Maybe it's last week's, Ludwig's timeline thing. Wow, exciting, okay? This is like bread. Now, you can see that I love food. I love eating. Yeah? When I eat, I'm happy. Okay? This is the truth, right? Right? So, when you eat, when you receive word and you are happy for a while, or you are burned for a while, it's like bread. Right? It's like bread. Wow, this is for this time. And you know, bread doesn't last very long. Yeah? I mean, the one without preservative, especially, yeah? Or candy bread. Okay. So you know that bread is for a moment, but then the word of God can also be received as seed. Yeah. So what when Pastor went through the first three parables all talk about seed. So I begin to ask, why seed? You know, this scripture says it's like bread, but God says it's like seed in this parable. So there must be a significance to seeds versus the fruit itself.
Yeah.
Yeah? So I'm going to change to fruit now, but you know it's interchangeable. Fruit also doesn't last long, especially organic fruit or veggies. Yeah? We don't want it to preserve it, it will last longer, but still, it doesn't last forever. Yeah? Whereas seed, as you know, wood.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right? Even though it looks like nothing, but you can use it whenever you want, okay?
Yeah.
Once you plant it, alright? So the next slide. So now, then I begin to ask God a question. What is the difference between seed and fruit? Seed and fruit. So firstly, seed is something that you receive something now, but you see the benefit or effect later. Okay? Like I was giving this example to the children. If one of the children say, I'm really hungry, I really want to eat an apple, and I give them an apple seed, they go, what is this? It's not something I can eat right now, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
So sometimes, maybe in life or in our walk with God, sometimes we ask, or when we pray for something, when God gives us seed, we don't see it.
Yeah, that's right.
We only see the bread. We only see when, wow, jumpy, nice and exciting. That's when we, yes, oh, God really cares for me. Yeah. But when God gives us seeds, when we talk about a lot, you know, connecting to the fivefold ministries, they release seeds. We don't see it. We don't appreciate the seed.
Mm.
Yeah? And we know that sometimes seed definitely doesn't look as good as the fruit. Alright? So, like the first one there, who knows what seed is that? Can you shout it out?
Yeah.
Peach nut. Okay? That one is avocado.
Okay, it's a bit quick, but okay. That's avocado. Oh, I see. Okay. Alright, the one beside is, yeah, peach or nectarine. Okay? So, all of us like to see the one on the bottom, right? Yummy, delicious fruit. But not many people will appreciate the top one, which is a seed. Okay? Now, who will appreciate seeds? It's people who knows what the fruit will look like. Okay? So, the example number two there, the apple and the seeds are two together. So, when you look at long term, if I were to give someone an apple seed, if something they really, really, for some reason, they just want apples, right? And I give them seed, they can see the potential of that seed.
Yeah, that's it.
In terms of the fruit that it will bring forth.
Yeah?
So, these are the people who appreciate seeds.
Yes.
Okay? Now, in order to appreciate seed, we'll go into the second one. Oh, sorry, we have to read the scripture. Go back. So, let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9, okay? So not all natural examples, okay?
It's also based on scripture, right? Yeah. So let's read the scripture together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Alright, I'm going to start, alright? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Can you see the future? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if indeed you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, you may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen? So this is where we get things like, you know, faith. When you are believing something you do not see yet, just like you can see seed but you can't see the fruit yet, okay? And in Life Group, we learn about how the 70-week prophecy, whether it's fulfilled or not, right? And there is this big word we learn: inauguration, eschatology. All right. I hope that those that learn remember what it means, right? Inauguration simply means initiation, right? And the other one is what? Consummation eschatology, which means the fulfillment. And we can see like the six causes that we learn. If we look by, you say, both filters, some partial things have been fulfilled, but yet to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Right? And then the answer, the simple answer for that, has it been fulfilled? Yes, but no. When did it fulfill? Now, but later. Right? It's a bit confusing concept, but when we study it, we understand that's what it means. So, in a way, seed is like that, right? There was an example that says righteousness, right? Remember, the fourth clause was like everlasting righteousness. Okay? If someone asks you right now, are you righteous? Yes, maybe, but the Bible says I've got faith, righteousness, but not really perfect. But so you don't know how to explain this. Yeah? But when you look at the consummation and the inauguration and the consummation, what it says was, at the death of the cross, right? The three things, which is sin, transgression, and iniquity, was ended in our life. When we receive Christ, that's what happens. Then we have faith, righteousness. But yet, we are looking forward, okay? So that's like the seed, but we are looking forward to like the full fruit of it. That everlasting righteousness, that perfect righteousness that we will receive. Amen? Alright? So, even though we learn about end times, things like that, or 3.5 years and things, try and relate it back into our life. Okay? Which means that all the seeds that we have received, okay, which I'm going to the second point, it requires work. Okay? It requires work because even the Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 12 to 13, right? It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we see, in order to get the fruit, it has to be planted, it has to be watered, it has to be fertilized, you have to protect it and all that, right? Because
If we imagine, right, receiving seed is like this, okay? So the first picture there, when you first planted the seed, you don't see anything, okay? You didn't see anything. But when a farmer plants a seed like that, today, so tomorrow, you won't see anything yet, right? But does he keep watering? He does, because he knows what's going to come, right? Day number two, still nothing. Does he still watering? He does, right? Now for a farmer, that's probably something normal. But for us, it's like, we're so impatient nowadays, right? Everything must be instant. Instant pizza, instant pies, instant whatever, okay? Instant noodles, okay? Right? And we want to at least see that one, right? A bit of green, that encourages us, quote unquote. Yeah, that encourages, okay, now I will spend time reading the word, pray, to water my seed. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the seed, even though it's already taken place in our heart, in our lives, God already put there, but because we don't see it sprouting like that one, that third picture there, you know, we don't bother watering it, we don't bother guarding it, we don't bother fertilizing it. And, you know, Pastor gives us these very simple things, three things, right? Everyone say prayer.
Prayer.
Word.
Word.
Obedience.
Obedience.
All right? When we do these things, even though we don't feel like, what you call it, emotional excitement about the word, but when we do all these things, think about it as watering the seed, alright? Taking care of the seed, alright? When we go to prayer meeting, when we pray, that's watering seed. When we go to any meetings, okay? Sometimes we receive new seed, right? But sometimes it's like, because the word of God is both seed and, it also says it's like water. Right? And it waters on the seed that was already there. Amen? Yeah? And then when you see a little tiny sprout, you don't go, yeah, and then tomorrow you forget to water it. It's a continual process. Which means God is just telling me that appreciate, firstly, learn how to receive the seed properly. Okay, learn how to receive it properly. Now then once you got it, learn how to guard it properly. Learn how to nurture it. Yeah? So, I think I use this example. Sometimes I think we also fertilize. Fertilize does what? Boosts its growth, right? That one you can think about like laying on a fence. We get a bit of boost. Yes? Yeah? Amen? Alright? We were talking about this maybe a few months ago, alright? Fertilizing is like, you know, can look at it as laying on a fence. It can also mean like testimony. When someone shares something, like say healing, right? It creates an excitement in you, right? Right? So for you, the seed in there is, you know that God is our healer. Right? God, you know, we can heal in the name of Jesus. But somehow we never see it in our own life or, okay? It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that it's not true. It is true. Yeah? But we just fail to see that the seed is already in our lives. Amen? Okay. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 to 9. Okay, I'll start. So I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's fields. You are God's building. So in context, what this means is that we talk about fivefold ministry, receiving from people that pastors have connected us to. Some of us may be connected to more, but just for those who already gone to life group, right? You already are connected to Kevin Connor because the materials that we use is from based on his book, okay, the book of Daniel. So this is what it means when you go to life group and you look at the lesson. Don't look at it as, oh, it's some print on paper, so you know it's just something we come up with. But it's not. It is someone's hard work, and then someone else helped to summarize it, put the answers in it. You know, help to design it so that it's more what they say, palatable, right? In bite size, right? But doesn't mean that it looks like, oh, so complex or that. But it's not important. It is. All these things God uses. Alright, some of us went to Moa to receive from Dr. Jonathan David, right? So all this, we've got to remember firstly, is somebody, is people that pastors have connected us to. Sometimes pastors release prophecies from other people, like Amir. Pastor Amir. Pastor Amir. But you know what I mean, okay? Like all these different things. So we don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
We don't take it lightly, because all those different people God have placed in our life so that it helps to water the seed in our life. Amen? Yeah? Alright, so last one. Point number three, okay? About seed. Okay? Now, another thing then, what's the difference between seed and fruit? Is that seed seems small or insignificant at the moment. Yeah? But if planted properly, in the right kind of ground, guarded properly, watered properly and everything, then you will see a tree coming up with more fruits. Yeah, there is a process. Right, Grace, a few months ago, shared about process. Yeah, going through process. So this is all the thing. And also what we want to see is not only one tree, we want to see many. Right, orchards. Okay, this is like fulfillment of what God said in our lives. Okay, because when we were in Malaysia, Pastor was giving us this simple but challenging question. Alright, that we were sharing with our people in Malaysia. The question is this: what is destiny to you?
Yeah.
And then, how to say? Okay. So what I received was that destiny is being able to see what is not now. Okay, like see, and being able to see the end of it. Okay, because we always say about journey, right? Destiny. But right now, do we see the unseen? Okay, do you understand? Do we see the invisible? That's kind of a paradox. But do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
If I were to give you a pot of mango, and it's in the pot with the seed inside, here's a mango tree, you say, no, like, you're lying to me, right? Here's a mango for you, like, no, this is not mango. But is there mango in there?
Yes,
there is. Is there an apple in there? Yes. Right? If you give a gift like that, obviously it's not very nice, right? It looks like just a pot of soil. But when there is seed in there, alright, we have to see this kind of thing in our life. Alright? Things that we receive, though look from the outside, look in the natural, not very nice, looks so simple, but we have to be able to see destiny. Alright? So when Ludwig or whoever or pastor all share with us, sometimes we come back to see. Sometimes we go to the destiny so that we can see the end picture. Sometimes we talk about process. Yeah? So today what I'm talking about is you must see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Alright? So you see, you see process and you see the end.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Amen.
And that will make us even more excited and
say,
I see now. God is indeed working in my life. It's still. Right? Sometimes we feel like it's flat, okay? Doesn't mean that nothing is happening, that's right. But again, see, all this balance. Don't say, oh okay, God is working in my life. I sit down. Alright? We gotta work it. Alright? Just as we come back to the 70 weeks prophecy about salvation. Right? We talk about, let's say, immortality. Remember the table, the spirit into two? Do we have eternal life or immortality? Some of us can say yes, some of us are not sure, because we still can die if we jump off a building. So is it eternal life or not? You're not sure, right? But okay, let me clarify. Yes, you have eternal life if you are born again. Okay? Alright, if you have received Christ in your heart, your spirit, everyone say spirit, has been alive.
Is alive.
Resurrected. Okay. Alright, what was there? Okay? Spirit is alive.
Yeah.
Okay, spirit is safe, we know. But we, in terms of we're talking about salvation and our body or us, we are spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
Right? So the soul is still being saved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What we call a process of sanctification.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the soul is God. Mind, will, emotion. So the mind, when we sanctify, will affect the emotion.
Yep.
And when the emotion is right, your will, you know what to do.
Yes, that's right.
It all aligns, right? But this is the one that is, in a way, what we are trying to say. Sometimes we are not righteous yet because of our mind.
Mm.
You know, it's a bit. But it's actually yes.
Okay? It's just heaven fully yet. Yeah. Then come back to eternal life. Then we know that when Christ comes, then our body will be saved. Yeah. That's when we put on the immortal body. That's when it's the full eternal life.
Yeah.
Alright? So all things that Jesus talks about, there is this timeline. Doesn't mean we don't see the effect, it hasn't started. Right? But things that are started, we need to make it keep going, like a bicycle. Keep going, keep going. If you stop, you fall. Right? And we always have to remember to see the end as well. And that's why we want to learn about prophecy, 70 weeks prophecy, and things like that, so that we can see the end.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to see the orchard, but not forsaking the seed in the ground.
Right. Right?
Whether sprout, like tiny, big, or big tree, small tree, whatever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen? Amen.
And we know that the potential to multiply is basically at the end of that parable, where it says you can multiply 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Which means that how we receive, how we got, and how is this going to affect the multiplication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the process, even though we say process, right, there's something that Dr. Jonathan, when he was giving examples of birthing forth, right, when you think about a baby elephant, bigger than a human baby, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, which means it's in the incubator longer, right? So he's like relating it this: the bigger a vision is, the bigger the process.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean we think timeline in terms of time or long, very long or what. Whatever how we got it is, God can accelerate that growth.
Amen.
Right? God can accelerate the birth. Yeah. But the incubation period must happen, no matter how short or how long it is.
Yes.
Yeah? Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So to conclude then. Alright, so we've been, to summarize what all words have been released to us, alright, that there was this key phrase, right, for us right now, especially now, right, for us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Amen.
And we talk about righteousness means the standard of God, being right in God's standard.
Yeah.
Yeah? So all this, how, you keep, have to keep asking how, God, in my life, is there anything I need to change to be in your standard? Yeah? And I think I've shared this before about when we learn in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel made this one decision that changed basically his life.
Amen.
In Babylon. Right? His life in Babylon. Because we see multiple times God used him powerfully. Yeah? But we forget that he made this one small decision. Alright? And this quote comes from, you know, the famous Chinese quote. We say, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. Yeah? So, maybe God has revealed to me a biblical version, alright, based on Hebrews as well. Alright? That the journey to perfection starts with one decision.
Yeah.
Right? The decision that Daniel made was not to defile himself. Just a simple decision. But you can see the effect it has on his life. As we've gone through from Daniel 1 to chapter 9. And he received all these great visions and prophecies. Alright? So again, we see the seed, right, of that decision. And then we see the process he went through. Because remember, if he would have obeyed the command of King Nebuchadnezzar or whoever, then he would have forfeited. Okay? But if he didn't, he would die. So that was a challenge to him. That was a process he had to go through. Yeah? Amen? And that's why he ended up in the lion's den and things like that. So you all should know these stories by now. Yeah? Okay? Then, as I repeat again, guard the seeds. Everyone say, guard the seeds.
Guard the seeds.
Take good care of it.
Take good care of it.
Should be them, seeds them. Okay. Never mind. And the increase will come.
And the increase will come.
Okay, so then as we go into the second parable, alright, just a teaser, alright, it says that once we receive the right seed in our hearts, we ourselves become seed.
That's it.
Okay?
Yeah.
And tying back to my key theme, or what do you call it, like my life theme, being sons of the house, sons of God, right? Remember there's a script in Romans 8 that, you know, the world is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yeah.
Which means, right now, wherever we are, God is planting us.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? It's like seed.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Being developed, yeah. Being processed. Okay?
Yeah.
And we want to see that even though it looks like the planting of us, the seed, seems insignificant, but it's going to have a really, really significant
Amen.
Fruit of fulfillment wherever we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, wherever you are, whatever stage you are at right now, you are a seed. Okay? And if it's nurtured right, watered right, it will bring forth the increase.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Yeah. So we just want to encourage everyone today that maybe you're going through a bit of what we call like a flat line, right? Like the lady that's pouring water on a ground, like just empty ground. But know that if you have received seed in your lives, or you know that people have prophesied personal prophecies to you, right? Remember all those times.
Yeah.
Remember it. Remember that time when your heart burned, right? And then think about what seed you would have received then, and think about how you should nurture it now, right? It can be a variety of ways. You know, writing scripture, we've been hearing this is one of the methods, and it seems to revive seeds, right? Because we know, like Sister Sandra's testimony, right? We know John chapter 1 very well, right? But when it comes and gives you a different meaning, you know that there's something happened to that seed that we first received. Yeah? Amen?
Yeah.
Alright? God bless you. Yes. Let's activate this. Alright, thank you. Let's decree and declare.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
We decree and declare right now in Jesus' name that
yes.
all the seeds
yes.
that we receive right now
yes.
are indeed planted on good ground.
Yes.
Are indeed planted on good
yes.
soil.
Yes.
Are indeed planted in the right kind of heart.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that each of us will not take these seeds lightly,
yes.
but will continue to guard them, will continue to water them,
yes.
will continue to fertilize them, will continue them to boost them.
Yes.
Boost their growth right now. And Lord, we
yes.
declare there is an acceleration of growth right now
yes.
in Jesus' name. And indeed, all these seeds that we are will bring forth
yes.
right now in Jesus' name. And together as one, when we together as one church beginning to reveal all these fruits, Lord, that you it's gonna bring harvest
yes.
into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's gonna bring great growth, great faith into
yes.
the house of God right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I declare that our hearts will never grow dull of
yes.
listening. Our ears will never be dull of hearing.
Yes.
That we will continue to receive more seeds from you.
Yes. Yes.
Not just bread, but seeds, Lord, right now in
yes.
Jesus' name. That we will continue
yes.
to seek the kingdom of God. We will continue to seek His righteousness.
Yes.
Hunger enters me.
Yes.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We declare again, let there be an spirit of encouragement to everyone right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That indeed, when we reach our destiny as one, we will see that great, great vision being fulfilled, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want to activate something that we had before long time. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Any question? I want you to read something that has been deposited through Jesus Christ. And we found it's only for special people. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Verbalize with me, and I want to say, and I want to activate. Wherever you go, you'll be there. Read with me. Then he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all demons. Come on.
He said, "Then we preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick."
Amen.
Okay, there is a deposit that God has put. He gave us safety and power.
How?
What is dynamis in Greek? He gave authority. Say
authority.
That word is excelsior. God gave power and authority over demons.
Yes.
And to cure all sicknesses.
Yes.
So he gave power and authority,
authority
over demons.
Over demons.
And cure all sicknesses.
And cure all sicknesses.
And to preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Preach
and to heal the sick.
Okay.
I'm just adding on and saying that these seeds are in you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be frightened of demons.
Yeah.
All sickness, diseases have been caused by demons. You know.
Yes.
You know. All. Well, this morning God is saying that seed and authority is rested on you.
Yes.
Wherever you speak and you cast out demons, you let it come.
Yeah.
Sickness, some little, some very subtly, it will come. In this church, I want to say this seed is inside you.
Yes.
It is inside you because authority has been downloaded to you. You won't fall into the sons of Sceva. They were not connected, they have no download. When they began to cast out a demon using the Jesus that Paul preached. And then the devil said, Paul, I know Jesus, I know who are you? It will never happen to you.
Amen.
You don't have to be frightened of it. The Spirit will know you. The Spirit will know me.
The Spirit will know.
The Spirit will know that I have this authority down the dunamis, excelsior, have been given to and to heal. And I want to stretch. I want you to stretch out and stretch your feet. I want to activate the rest of your feet. Activate the dimension. This church will be a healing church. Every person will be healed. You don't have to be bound by medical science and hospitals. You can go up to higher, the one who made the spirit, soul, and body. The one who said, I am the Lord, your doctor. The Hebrew word is Rofaka, which is still they use the word doctor. Jesus will become your doctor, and you can be a blessing. And it's free of charge, and it's 24/7. Okay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus,
yes.
I pray, I ask for God to release special grace for all the seeds that we have received, especially the authority and power over unclean spirit, and cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses, and to preach the gospel. I activate right now. I activate right now. Every hand, every mouth will be healing hands and healing voice. Will bring hope to the nation that is going down. I speak life.
Yes.
Right to life.
Yes.
Download right now in peace and expand the seats in the name of Jesus. That every lay, everywhere they lay hands, healing virtue, every demonic force, they will say, out in Jesus' name, heal. I'll deliver and heal, and the gospel will be preached with the signs falling. I activate right now. I activate right now. I activate. I commission the church to do this work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we conclude with one simple song? Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Word. Say word, prayer, obedience. And I want some of us to do in action. Okay, you come and do. So read.